Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Targeted Talks. I'm your host, Nicole Tucker. In this episode, I am speaking with Dr. Yazan Samori of Allegheny Health Network about advances in the non-Hodgkin lymphoma treatment paradigm. Dr. Samori, when thinking of the past 5 years, which treatment advances do you think have revolutionized the field?
So for non-Hodgkin lymphoma, I think it was really exciting 5 years, specifically the last 2 years, actually. But advancement in the targeted therapy, antibody drug conjugates, monoclonal antibodies, adaptive cell therapy like CAR T cell therapy, and all these things have really revolutionized the field and changed the standard of care for many of the diseases that we treat.
Thank you. And which traditional therapies do you think no longer have a place in the treatment of non-Hodgkin lymphoma? Which continue to play a role in the treatment?
Everything still continue to play a role, although it seems we're switching from traditional chemotherapy toward more targeted therapies, specifically in the relapse setting for many diseases, but more even earlier and earlier therapy, and more recently even as a first line therapy. So still there is a role for all the traditional therapies. We have many options to choose from now, including the traditional therapies, which is a good problem to have anyway. But there is a shift in the last 5 years toward more targeted therapy and adaptive cell therapy.
Thank you. And can you discuss the introduction of antibody drug conjugates in the non-Hodgkin lymphoma landscape? What impact have they made?
Yeah, so antibody drug conjugates are really an exciting tool to have in the last few years to treat many of the non-Hodgkin lymphoma subtypes. So we have, for example, brentuximab vedotin, we have polatuzumab vedotin. Other than the antibody drug conjugates, we have also some monoclonal antibodies like loncastuximab in diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, like tafasitamab in also diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. So all these treatments have added great benefits for our patients, including some clinically meaningful outcomes like progression-free survival and overall survival, but also provided an option, I think, to choose treatment with a different toxicity profile. It depends on the patient characteristic. So even if the outcomes maybe not 100% convincing, you still have an option to use based on the patient characteristics because of the different toxicities that they provide.
With brentuximab vedotin, what highlights can you share about the phase 3 Echelon 1 trial? How has it impacted the field since being approved for non-Hodgkin lymphoma?
So yeah, Echelon 1 trial, so it's a phase 3 trial that compared the use of brentuximab vedotin with AVD, compared with ABVD, which is the traditional chemotherapy that we use in Hodgkin lymphoma. The initial results showed a better progression-free survival for the brentuximab vedotin arm. The five-year follow-up after that also continued to show persistence of this benefit in the progression-free survival. And the most exciting news was about even overall survival started to show statistical significance in favor of the brentuximab vedotin arm. So this is very exciting because for a curative disease like Hodgkin lymphoma, that you have many efficient treatment options in the relapse setting, including checkpoint inhibitors, CAR T cell clinical trials, it's difficult really to find overall survival benefit, but the brentuximab vedotin have shown that. So this is really exciting, and many centers and many lymphoma physicians have started to switch toward brentuximab vedotin, specifically in the right patient population.
For T-cell lymphoma specifically, brentuximab vedotin was granted FDA approval for frontline CD30 positive peripheral T-cell lymphoma. What can you tell us about the phase 3 Echelon 2 trial, which led to this approval?
Yeah, so Echelon 2 trial, so peripheral T-cell lymphoma to start with is really one of the difficult diseases to treat. Over the years, we didn't really have many options other than the traditional chemotherapy, which are not as effective as other subtypes of non-Hodgkin lymphoma. But brentuximab vedotin have shown for maybe the first time to beat CHOP for progression-free survival and overall survival benefit again. And that was shown earlier follow-ups of the study compared with the Echelon 1 in Hodgkin lymphoma. So this was exciting that we have an option that uh, a better option that we can offer for those patients for CD30 positive T-cell lymphomas, and to have a better overall survival benefits, it's really a great thing to have.
Excellent, thank you. This year, we also saw results from Polarix, which assessed the antibody drug conjugate polatuzumab vedotin with R-CHOP versus R-CHOP alone in patients with diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. What are your thoughts on this study?
So yeah, I mean, I think ASH 2021 and even 2020 were very exciting to have all these data coming for diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. So the Polarix trial is exciting because it's provide a novel therapy as an option to treat these patients in the first line setting. There was no overall survival benefit. It showed only progression-free survival benefit, but this is still something. One thing about the Polarix trial that we're using polatuzumab with a CHP, so we're removing the vincristine from our CHOP and substituting it with polatuzumab vedotin, which polatuzumab can cause neuropathy and vincristine also can cause neuropathy. So from the toxicity standpoint, we're not getting a different form of toxicity. So that might not be a benefit if a patient starting already with baseline neuropathy. We don't have an overall survival benefit. So I didn't see in the lymphoma community yet a lot of excitement about as changing standard of care toward polatuzumab. So we need just a little bit more mature data, probably specifically for the Polarix trial, to see where we're going forward. But it's definitely an exciting news to have this option, specifically that for 40 years, probably we're not able to change our job for diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, but even finally, we started to see some other options.
Moving along in the treatment landscape, what is unique about CAR T-cells for the treatment of non-Hodgkin lymphoma?
Yeah, so CAR T really, it's one of the treatment options that really revolutionized the treatment landscape for non-Hodgkin lymphoma. The most unique features for CAR T-cell therapy is probably the durability of the response that they provide for our patients. Even with other targeted therapy, antibody-drug conjugates, monoclonal antibodies, we haven't seen a durable response as we have seen as we're seeing with the CAR T-cell therapy in diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. The line therapy that they started studying them was like after two lines of therapy. For diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, this is a very difficult situation. Those are patients that we were really desperate for treatment. Prognosis is really bad, but CAR T-cell therapy really offered an option to even cure, if we are allowed to say this word, in some of these patients because of the long durable response that they offer.
Thank you. And can you start with talking about axicabtagene ciloleucel as seen in the ZUMA-7 trial for second-line treatment of relapsed or refractory diffuse large B-cell lymphoma?
Yeah, so ZUMA-7 really looked at axi-cel as a treatment in the second-line setting for a specific patient population of diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, which I like to call them early therapy failure patients, which are who are primary refractory to the first line or who relapse within 1 year. Those patients, usually the disease is not chemosensitive. So giving them more chemo in the second line and go to transplant, it's what's the standard of care even until now, but what was before ZUMA-7 always. And we've seen some benefit, but it's not the great benefit that you would hope for. And CAR T cell therapy, like switching from traditional chemo to a novel adaptive cell therapy, is really exciting and makes sense in those patient population. It has shown progression free survival benefits, and I think there's a lot of excitement for this treatment in many centers. I personally really think of it seriously in those patients who failed chemotherapy early.
Thank you. And what about Tisagen Lucel versus standard of care for second-line aggressive B-cell lymphoma?
It wasn't exciting news in the Belinda trial as it failed to show a superior effect compared with standard of care like what the axi-cel have shown. So we're not really using Tisa-cel in this setting. We need more follow-up. There are this very recent clinical trials and the results are really mature. We need to wait for more follow-up and see for both agents how the future, what the future hides for us.
Thinking about existing unmet needs, Which non-Hodgkin lymphomas have fewer treatment options or require better therapies?
So I think that when we talk about T-cell lymphomas in general, really have fewer therapies, a very difficult disease to treat, specifically in the relapse setting. Usually the response to the traditional chemotherapy, almost progression-free survival is lower, overall survival is lower compared with B-cell malignancies. There is a lot of room for improvements and unmet needs in the T-cell lymphomas therapy. It's very exciting what we are having in the B-cell lymphomas in general world. I think we're having more and more therapies, but we still in the relapse, specifically Hodgkin lymphoma, also after peripheral T-cell lymphoma, I would say Hodgkin lymphoma, also in the relapse setting, is kind of a changing disease to treat, and we're really anxiously waiting for the results of the CAR T cells and the other adaptive cell therapy and more targeted therapy like the brentuximab, in Hodgkin lymphoma.
Are there any novel strategies that may offer solutions in this disease?
Every year or every month, even we are understanding the pathophysiology, the genetics of different subtypes of non-Hodgkin lymphoma. This will lead for us to better understand which treatment we will choose for each patient. It's not a one-size-fits-all anymore. Better understanding these genetics will make us really better understand which treatment we should go to individual patients. Other things is there exciting in news about optimizing the CAR T cell therapy, finding more antibody drug conjugates, finding new targets for the monoclonal antibodies. So all these is really how we should focus our research on, because that's where the future in non-Hodgkin lymphoma is going.
Overall, what are your hopes for non-Hodgkin lymphoma treatment going forward?
I would say more durable responses for patients with relapse disease. And hopefully we'll be using, although I am a transplanter, but hopefully we'll be using less and less transplant, because this is really an intensive toxic treatment for those patients. And understanding the pathogenesis of these disorders and coming up with new novel therapies, either targeted or adaptive cell therapy options, hoping to get really more durable responses and cure more portions of these patients in the future.